is the Video Film Podcast. My name's Adam.
My name's Jesse.
All right.
And you know what, Adam? I'm going to guess that you liked both of these movies.
Okay. Good guess.
Good guess?
Well, it's a guess.
Okay, let's do it individually. I think you liked The Standoff at Sparrow Creek.
All right.
Would you give it a thumbs up?
Mm.
A pass.
Okay, I'll give it a pass.
Okay. Thelma and Louise?
Yeah, Thelma and Louise is great.
Yeah. Okay.
I had thought that I had seen Thelma and Louise before, but I had not.
Mm.
And I thought that I had not seen Standoff at Sparrow Creek, and I had. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's kind of boring, Standoff at Sparrow Creek.
Especially the
second time watching it.
Yeah.
I was like, I remember that now that I'm watching it, I've seen it before, yeah. but it must have been completely forgettable because I don't remember anything about this movie. And then it got finished. I'm like, oh, that's why it was completely forgettable. Yeah.
I feel like it's a movie that does not reward subsequent viewings.
Yeah.
I feel like because I hadn't seen it before and I was like, oh, this is a good movie. They're doing a Reservoir Dogs type single location. A lot of guys could have been the mole or whatever it is, could have done this shooting.
Yeah.
They're all kind of bad guys, but you're trying to find out which one betrayed them. And once you find that out at the very end, which I wasn't expecting, there's no reason to watch the movie again.
No.
Unless you forget about it, which I do all the time. I forget about movies and I'm like, oh, wow, that guy.
I remembered enough to go, there's no payoff. So you feel like there was a payoff. I remember being like, yeah, I don't think this gets that much better.
Mm.
And it didn't, you know. So I was kind of half paying attention and half not. It's a fun cast. I'll give it that. It's a lot of actor. What do you call them? Character actors that have been around for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So that was fun to see them acting. But that's about it. Tell me what you liked about it.
I like that there's a lot of movies that don't use their budget properly.
Mm-hmm.
It's a low budget movie, but it's trying to do too much. Or it's a low budget movie, but they don't have any idea how to shoot it. Like, it's poorly made.
Mm-hmm.
This movie, they only really had this one location or maybe a couple locations. I don't know if there was, it was supposed to be one. It may have been more than one. But it's obvious they're not going out and doing a lot of big shots on this, booking off streets, and they don't have helicopters, and they're not staging big action sequences, where there's a lot of these shitty low budget movies that are trying to do all those things and they look like shit.
Mm-hmm.
But this movie, it's well, like, there's some really great shots in it. They use the lighting really well. They use the composition of these large warehouse spaces really well. Even the smaller spaces, like, there's some really great shots, like when they're up against all the doors and they have the flashlights, it looks really cool. When they're in the basement, and the lights are overhead, it looks really cool. When they have just the lights on the guns, when they reveal that one of the guns is missing, that looks amazing. Like, they're just sort of taking what they have and using that as much as they can, and not trying to do too much.
Yeah.
Not trying to make it a larger movie, just trying to make it a better movie.
Yeah, you make a good case.
Well, thank you. And like you said, the actors. You get good actors that aren't household names. I don't think anyone, maybe Patrick Fischler is the closest thing to a household name.
What? I've never heard that name in my life, so no.
Fair enough.
Who was he? I don't know who that was.
He was the like the nerdy guy who was on the radio.
Oh. Yeah, he's been around a long time, but there you go. He's not a name that I recognized.
He's a household face, let's say.
He's got a unique face.
Yeah. And some of the guys have been in some decent stuff. Like James Badgedale was in a few seasons of 24 at least.
I
He
don't know
was
who that is.
the main character.
Never seen him before.
Never seen him before?
Well, not that I remember from anything.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. But there's just nobody like I guess you made the cases that there's nobody who's a household name, but you know most, if not all, the faces, and they're all good actors. They all work for the roles. They don't just throw like a movie star in there and try to get some kind of like production value with that, or
Yeah.
get like a big name to sell the movie. They just
Yeah.
get the best guys that they can for the roles.
Brian Geraghty.
Yes.
That was the biggest I felt character in it. Actor, I guess. No, not the biggest, because there's the old guy and he's been around forever. And I don't
Yeah.
know any of their names. Other than Brian Geraghty, the only reason I know that is because I wrote it down because there was a point in time where I'm like, that guy's in everything. It was right when he got the role on Boardwalk Empire that I'm like, he is in every time I turn the channel, that guy's showing up in a role. I think, but I look back at his IMDb and I'm like, he wasn't really in that much. I don't know what I was watching like back to back going, God, this guy's showing up on everything. I think it was that. And then he showed up on, Ray Donovan, I think at the same time.
Okay, yeah.
And maybe I'm thinking maybe it was True Blood. I don't know. There was a bunch of shows that were airing at the exact same time and he just kept showing up in everyone. And I'm like, that guy's how does he get work? He's weird looking.
Lot of HBO shows, I guess.
Yeah.
Who did he play in Boardwalk Empire?
He was the Do you remember in Boardwalk Empire when somebody gets tipped off about what do you call them? A still? You know, where they're.
Oh, when they make the alcohol?
Yeah.
Yeah, still.
Is it a still?
Yeah.
They get tipped off about some place where they're making alcohol and they go there and it's been booby-trapped. So well, there's two of them. It's Brian Geraghty and some other agent, and he tells him to go in first. And when he goes in, he trips the booby trap and the building explodes. And then Brian Geraghty, he knew that was going to happen.
Oh, okay.
That's the memorable thing that I, because he's a, you think he's a good agent. You think he's trying to do the right thing. And then he ends up being a bad agent.
Bad agent.
That's all I can tell you.
Okay. I had not I've seen him, but I couldn't tell you where I've seen him.
Because he seems he plays like a sniveling. You know what he actually was on? He played the counterboy that Christopher Moltisanti shoots when he won't give him his
Oh,
pastries.
really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So he. I think maybe that was something I was watching at the same time when I recognized him again. I'm like, that guy fucking. He shows up everywhere. But
A lot of HBO stuff then.
That was a memorable role where he plays kind of like a sniveling little nerdy guy, and then yeah, he hasn't. But then he turns in all these roles where you think that he's this sniveling guy, but then he turns around and he's an asshole.
Same kind of thing in this movie. Maybe not an asshole, but he turns out to be
He's got more up
the,
his sleeve. Yeah,
yeah,
he's got
turns,
some. Yeah,
he's driving the plot.
I don't know. They cast him for that a lot. They cast him as like somebody that you underestimate, and then they're really doing more.
Good
Anyways,
for him.
that was the only well, who's the old guy that showed up in
Yeah, he is Chris Mulkey. Or,
Didn't.
oh, the really old guy, like the oldest guy,
Yeah.
Gene Jones, the guy from No Country for Old Men.
Yes. His most
Yes.
memorable role.
That was Gene Jones,
Okay.
who was fantastic in this movie.
Yeah, fantastic? I mean, okay, why was he fantastic?
Just that one story that he told of how he ended up in the militia, that was worth it.
All right.
He had one story, and he did a really good job telling it.
Okay.
And you think he's just some old guy, and you're like, oh, that's an interesting story. He killed a guy to protect him, to protect other guys, and the whole thing was not what you would have expected. You would expect that he's just some old guy who had some kind of like beef with the government or something, so he became a militia man.
I mean, maybe you're throwing around fantastic a little haphazardly.
Nah, it was fantastic.
We can call him fantastic in No Country, but that was all about the whole scene with the whole fucking
Yeah.
tension that was in that scene. You're like, that guy gave a memorable role there, but fantastic for one story in this? I don't know.
It's a big story.
Man. All right.
It was a good monologue.
All right.
It's hard to just in a movie just have a guy explain his whole life, and you're really interested in it, like telling rather than showing. Movies are about showing, and when you're telling something, it's hard because the audience just has to listen to you and make like a book, make up their own visuals rather than you're showing them something fantastic like an action sequence.
So this was Standoff at Sparrow Creek, came out in 2019. It was directed by Henry Dunham.
Yes.
We also watched Thelma and Louise from 91, and it was directed by Ridley Scott. There you go. I didn't say where you worked, that whole introduction.
Good for you.
Am I allowed to say that you work? Is that allowed, or should I say that you're unemployed?
You can say I work.
I'm getting close to the line, aren't I? I
No.
know.
No, I've talked about the fact that I work in the garbage industry.
What? Now we're just throwing out. Oh, you can't. Now I gotta scrap the whole thing.
I've talked about that before.
You make up your rules as you fucking go.
Most people do. I'm no exception to the rule. The thing that I find interesting about Henry Dunham is that he has not yet come out with another movie. Though he has a movie in development with huge stars in it. So my guess is that people watch this movie and they have confidence in him,
Right.
which is great. Because you can see that the guy has a knack for directing. You can see that he uses his resources wisely. And now this is like a kind of a proof of concept. And now people are giving him a big movie to show his stuff.
What's the movie?
It's called Enemies, and it stars Jeremy Allen White, and there's a couple other people in it. Hold on, let me look. Austin Butler.
Cool.
So that's a pretty good cast right there.
Is it?
I don't know anything else about it.
Okay.
Just that it has a big
I'll tell
movie.
you, I'll give you a forgiveness or whatever from last week when I said all of Kittredge and you said you never said olive. But I listened back and I did say all of Kittredge. But I think what
Okay.
you heard was all of Kittredge. So when I
Oh.
said it, I said I watched all of Kittredge. And I think in your brain, you interpreted that as all of, and then thinking that the show was called Kittredge, and that then you just didn't put two and two together. And then
I think
later,
you're right.
when the word became all of, you were like, oh, I do know the show all of Kittredge.
I think you're right.
So that's it.
Okay. Well, I'm glad. Thank you for not calling me a liar again
Well,
and
you're still a
saying
liar.
Well, in general, yeah, but not specifically to that.
Yeah. Anyways, did you watch it?
No.
No.
I have not watched. I have so many fucking shows to watch. It took me a few days just to watch DTFC Lewis this week. That's one of my favorite shows. It
Yeah,
was
it's a good show.
a fantastic episode of that show. And what other show was it that I was watching? I forget. Some other
I
shows.
went back and I'm trying to watch all of Mankind. Not all of Mankind. For All Mankind. That's sorry, I had the name wrong. And I told you I watched it. It's about going to the moon, and it's an alternate reality, like where I think that the Russians landed on the moon, and so the space ra race kept going. So it's an alternate reality. And I gave up after four episodes, and then just season five just came out. So I'm like, oh, I gotta go back and check out that show. They just keep making it. And I also heard on a podcast they said it's such a great show, and every season keeps getting better. So I went back and started
Ooh.
watching again. And I'm like, why did I quit watching this? In the fifth episode, they actually get to the moon, and then it gets really interesting. So I finished the first season. I got into the second season, and there's a time jump. And the first four episodes again just bore me to tears. I'm like, I don't have any desire to keep watching the fifth episode. But I don't know, man. It's a boring show. I don't know how they've had five seasons out of it. It's crazy that anybody got past four episodes of both seasons.
So does it have a lot of action in it, or is it mostly just kind of people talking about going to the moon?
Yeah. It's basically them just being like, okay, you're going to the moon next. All right, when? I don't know. Get training. Yeah. I don't know. It's.
Do they fight the Russians?
No.
No.
There's just that tension that they're both trying to advance the space program.
Oh, okay. I thought it would have like some cool moon battles or something.
No moon battles yet. Which I wouldn't like if they had moon battles, because it's so dumb when you see them. They're like, it's called For All Mankind. They're supposed to be doing this for humankind, and then they're like, yeah, but not that part of humankind. It'd be a
Okay.
little silly.
I bring it up because I'm pretty sure the DVD cover has dudes with like assault rifles on the moon.
Yeah, they might get to that point. I'm not there yet. The
That's
beginning
like
of season
season
two.
one or two, because I think those are the only two that are out on DVD.
You
So,
bought them?
no, I just saw them that they were out on DVD.
Okay.
And but I'm pretty sure there's a picture of guys with assault rifles on the moon on one of the two seasons.
They might get there because they're both on the moon. And you can't trust the Russians. So
Yes.
they might have a fight. Anyways, that's a show I keep trying to keep going with, but fuck. It's
Yeah, I
boring.
hate those shows when you're trying to watch them and you're just like, man, I should be watching this, but I fucking hate this show.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to watch this show anymore, but I keep going.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of shows like that. Well, not that I keep going with, but that I'm like, I hear it's so good from people that I trust, but God, I don't want to sit down for an hour and watch the next episode.
Yeah, I'm doing that right now with industry. Like, I keep watching it and nothing happens.
Yeah.
They're all just talking about trading stocks. And then this podcast I listen to, they're always talking about the show. They usually do. They keep up with, like, I don't know, three or four shows at any given time, and this is one of them. And they're talking about, like, oh, there's like these people, and they're like sabotaging things and they're undercover. And I'm like, these are just the first season is just people talking about stock trades.
Yeah.
And like sometimes they hook up.
That's it.
That's
That's what I was gonna say. I remember them just like they're having sex with each other.
yeah, but there's nothing that seems like any kind of tension, any kind of undercover agent type shit, nothing like that.
I agree. I either gave up after the first season or during the first season, and it wasn't that interesting to me. Did you ever watch the show Killing Eve?
Is
Oh
that the
God.
one?
I don't know anything about it. It's either a yes or no. I don't.
But it has like Sandra Oh or something, right? I
I don't
think.
know. I don't know anything about it. I just know the title.
No, I haven't watched it.
Okay.
If it's the one I'm thinking of. I haven't watched it. Have you watched a show called Neighbors? It's like a documentary type program.
Doesn't ring a bell, no.
Fantastic. Go ahead and watch it.
What's it about?
It's about fucking insane people. So basically, it takes each episode usually takes two sets of feuding neighbors, and they interview both sets of neighbors, and most of the time they're just absolute insane people. This is what I realized through the show is that if you take two people who are absolutely insane and put them beside each other, like they move in beside each other, eventually it's going to turn into like almost every episode, they all threaten to kill each other. They're like, I have a, like, there's, they're like, I have a gun and I'm going to fucking kill this person one day. Or this person's going to kill me, or I'm going to, like, they're always just like, this person's going to kill me, or I'm going to kill them. And it's always over something stupid, like 1 foot of grass. I won't tell you about the best episode, but it's the one guy actually does have kind of a point. But a lot of episodes, like you're watching the one person and you're like, oh, this guy seems kind of normal. And then they just start going off on like some fucking crazy tangent. Like, this is my alien room. And you're like, oh shit, he's got a fucking alien room.
What does that mean?
Of like, oh, I saw this alien. This alien's name is Grok,
Oh.
and he's the president of our universe.
Okay.
And sometimes they're like, sometimes the camera people are like, are you threatening me? Like this one guy just he goes like, what does he say? He's like, if you do this, I'll come and kill all of you. And they're like, you just said that on camera. And then he's like, yes, I did. It's like it's incredible how these stupid little things, and all you need is just two crazy people living beside each other. And eventually you'll just something will happen and it'll just go absolutely nuclear.
There was the show on Netflix, You're the Perfect Neighbor, and that was
Okay.
about one specific case. That ended in murder. But it was one crazy person living in a neighborhood, and everyone around her was just like, we all hate her. Like, everybody agrees that we all hate this one woman. She just constantly comes out and screams at the kids, and the kids have every right to play here. Like, and then she'll come out and say, this is my property, or you don't have the right to be blah blah blah. And then it just ended up going to that. And it's like, why do people do this to themselves? Why do they move into neighborhoods? Doesn't anybody ever stop and reflect that, hey, maybe I'm the problem? Maybe I shouldn't be living this close to people if I can't handle it.
You can't handle living close to people.
I get it. I get the being angry at your neighbors. I totally get the crazy from the crazy point of view. But then it's like, at some point you got to go, okay, I'm the issue here. Oh, maybe the neighbors suck, but hey, they're not going to get any better. You should move somewhere else. Move far away. But people never see that as an option.
No. Well, it's
No.
always because the other person, the other, everyone else has to be wrong and they have to be right. And then they just dig in.
Yeah.
They just dig in. Like in one of the episodes, the people seem to be rich. They could go anywhere. And they're just two people who are just fighting. And
Okay.
it's like, for no reason. You're like, these people could, at least one of them could easily just move.
Okay.
Anyway, it's a great show. You should watch it.
I don't know. Might give me anxiety.
I don't think so because the people are so over the top
Mm-hmm.
that they're no longer, you no longer kind of feel for them anymore. You
Yeah.
don't, you're not really like, oh man, this would drive me crazy. You're like, no one should ever be doing this.
No.
This is not how you behave in a society, especially that they're all just gonna shoot each other
Where does it take place?
in the States.
All over?
Yeah, I
Okay.
think all over, yeah.
Okay. Well, let's talk about Thelma and Louise from 1991,
Okay.
directed by Ridley Scott.
Right to buy.
Okay. What would you like to say about it?
I'd like to say this is the first movie, I think, that Ridley Scott made that was like a just kind of a normal contemporary movie. And he did a great job. A study of two women on the run. It was, I thought it was fairly balanced. It wasn't all men are awful. It wasn't these two women are right and justified in everything they do.
Right.
They did something that they had to do, then they made some mistakes, and everybody in it was kind of human, except for the truck driver. He was not human. He was a fucking lunatic. But
Really does show you the dangers of allowing your friends to go away for your, sorry, your wife to go away with her friends for the weekend. Yeah.
those guys, though,
That was a joke. You
no,
didn't even fucking.
I know it was funny.
No, it wasn't. I'm
It was
sorry. I
funny.
take it back.
It was funny, but it does make you think that the type of guy that Chris McDonald plays in this movie, those are the guys who you always think this guy would be so much better off without his wife. Because he wants to cheat on her. He obviously like he just seemed to be like watching football when she called, and like he wasn't stressing, he wasn't pacing around. He's having a beer and watching football. Like this guy would be so much better off, and she would be so much better off if they weren't together. But that's not how it is. He's so mad that she left. Like
Yeah.
I would think he would be like, yeah, go away for as long as you want. I'm gonna watch some football. I'm gonna cheat on you, whatever. And like he's having so much fun with the cops around. Like they kind of have like a frat house going at one point, sort of looking at porn, watching movies, eating pizza. And like he like these guys always seem like they don't want to have a wife. But then they're always like, where are you? You come home right this second. Make me dinner. It's like that guy doesn't want that.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't. Yeah, I get it.
And they don't. And I think the one of the things that I like about the Chris McDonald character is he's not necessarily abusive. He's just a bad guy and just a bad husband.
Back to what you said about the balance that you don't necessarily say all men are evil and all women are perfect. I agree. I like that part that they didn't just because it's so temp today you wouldn't make this movie like this. Today you would
No.
say definitely the women were pushed to the absolute, they had no choice. The killing of that guy would have been a total self-defense, 100% self-defense. They had no other choice, but then all the men wouldn't believe them, so they'd have no choice but to go on the run. Whereas in this movie, she definitely is walking away. She doesn't have to kill him. She turns around and makes a decision to kill him. So you're a little bit conflicted with she did murder the guy, but also
Straight
he had
up.
it coming. And you don't really feel bad for the guy. And you do root for the women, I think. So they didn't have to make it so black and white and bang you over the head with it like they would today. Today, you have to make something black and white because there can't be any gray area for the audience today. The audience can't handle the gray area.
And even Harvey Keitel is like, look, I'm on your side. Like, I want to see you come in, and you may not even, it may not even be that bad.
Yeah.
And he's like, just come on, just come in. And then they rob a store, and he's like, now it's going to be a little bad. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
But you can still come in. You can save yourself. All these guys want to kill you. Michael Madsen's character, you kind of think, oh, this guy's going to be a super dick. And then he shows up, and then he's like, yeah, this sucks. I wish I want to marry you, but too bad. And I can't. And now I'm going to go away.
Yeah, it's a lot more ambiguity in this movie because yeah, they both talk about their boyfriends suck, and Michael Madsen's character doesn't suck when they introduce him. He's a good guy, and except for when he's throwing stuff around in the hotel room. Oh, that was a bit over the top. There was no she's like, I don't know, she says something to him and he just starts throwing things violently. I thought that was a bit unnecessary, buddy.
But then he does realize that that's wrong, and he apologizes, and he straightens everything up.
Wow.
That was what that's what that was what I like. He's like putting back the table, and I was like, that's a it's respectable. He
I don't
realized
know.
his mistake.
Yeah, I don't think I'd want to be around somebody that volatile.
That's pretty volatile. But he has just been sort of told that his girlfriend is never going to see him again. I think he is, I think in that in the space of the time that they're in the hotel room, he realizes that he's lost the best thing that he has, which is her, because of his stupid music career that's going nowhere. And that he realizes that he made this mistake. I think he's really mad at himself that he had this great thing with her, and now it's gone. And it may not be necessarily his fault of what happened, but he should have locked it down. You should have put a ring on it
I see.
before she's on the run. Not a good time to get engaged when your fiance's on the run for murder. But he was a good guy overall. And who else? Brad Pitt, another character. Not all bad, not all good. Obviously, he's going to steal the money. You leave $6,700 around a bank robber, he's gonna steal it.
Right.
But Gina Davis is has an awakening, and she's not thinking correctly. But Brad Pitt does to you.
Yeah, that's right.
Can't resist it.
Yeah, Brad Pitt, good.
Brad Pitt, good. What else about the movie? What do you got?
Don't really have much.
The only thing that I saw in the movie that I didn't like, and it's an incredibly well-made movie, great shots of the vistas and the Grand Canyon, really good lighting. They had the worst process shot I've ever seen. When they're in the car at one point, they're just bouncing around for no reason. They're on like a flat stretch of ground, and the car is shaking, and they're bouncing up and down. And you're like, what the fuck's going on? I don't understand this.
I don't know what scene you're talking about.
It's just one scene, like in the last half hour of the movie, and they're talking a car. It was one of the many times that they passed that trucker.
Okay.
And like just before they see him, I think they're just bouncing around in the car, and the car is going, and they're jerking the steering wheel around, but they're having like just a regular conversation.
Oh, yeah.
And they're not like fleeing or anything. They're just driving. And it's just distracting because it's such like Ridley Scott is an incredible filmmaker. At this point, he was 20 years into his career of making movies. He knew how to make movies. He made some excellent ones. And he just did this shot that was just awful.
It's weird. I don't remember it. Didn't jump out at me.
It jumped out at me because the whole thing was so well made. Like the actresses were made to look real. Everything was made to look really real, and all the shots were great, and all the lighting was incredible. And then there's just this one shitty shot.
Yep.
Yeah, just stuck out to me. I was wondering if you'd seen it, but apparently not.
I was impressed at how confident that truck driver was when the girls finally pull up next to him and say, like, are we gonna do this? And then he's like, yeah, let's do it. And then he doesn't seem surprised at all. And I was thinking, wow, I wonder, I guess that works. I guess I should be trying that. Just drive around and stick your tongue out at women on the road, because they'll probably, it sounds like quite often they'll say, well, let's stop up here together and have sex.
I think that's the fallacy. I think it's that you have to do it 10,000 times, and that one time you're just gonna get some chicks who are like, let's do it. I'm down to clown.
Well, it just seemed like he wasn't that surprised. He was just like, all right, here we go. When
Well,
they finally.
he thinks he's perfected it.
Yeah.
He thinks I've done this so many times.
Yeah.
Or maybe he realizes like this is not a good way to get women, but eventually one of these women or two of these women in this case is going to be down.
Yeah.
So he's like, if I do this, like I got nothing to lose. I'm just driving a truck. So if I do this thousands and thousands of times, the law of averages says I have to get one taker.
Yeah. Maybe it was the first time he'd ever tried it. And that's why he doesn't look that surprised.
Be awesome. I just came up with this way to get chicks. Just lean out of my window, stick my tongue out, and like make jerk off
And
motions on
then
the side of the truck.
it worked, and he was like, well, of course it worked. Yeah.
I'm a genius. But he did have to try it three in the movie. He did try it like three or four times too, though.
Yeah.
So maybe he just thought like he wore them down,
Yeah.
that they'd had some time to reconsider, or maybe he thought that they were following him.
Could
He was
be.
like, this couldn't be a coincidence. Like they must be trying to talk themselves into this,
Yeah.
or one of them's trying to talk the other one into it. That this is an interesting. The psychological argument, what this guy's thinking is happening between these two women who
Yeah.
keep showing up. So really, it's their fault. They were asking for it.
Yeah. All right. Anything else to talk about?
With Thelma and Louise?
Anything at all?
I don't know.
All right,
I
well, we
think
can.
it's with Thelma and Louise, the one thing that I always find to be interesting, and I don't know how you would say it, heartening, is that Susan Sarandon is w the one actress who. She was 44 in this movie, so she was the same age as us, which is usually considered in Hollywood to be old. But she had an amazing career after this, and she only got more famous and better,
Yeah.
which I just think is a really interesting thing that they cast two women who are 34 and 44 in this movie, and you really you and most of this, because this is a movie about two women who are kind of discovering themselves, you would think they'd be much younger,
Yeah.
but it works that they're older, and it works that one is sort of a little bit older than the other one. But nowadays, like you said before, they wouldn't make this movie nearly in the same way. They'd have one would be like 22 and the other one would be like 30 or something like that.
So younger.
Much younger, yes.
Okay.
I don't know. I thought that I think that's interesting whenever I watch this movie.
Do you think her career took off because of this movie?
I think, well, Bull Durham, I think she was nominated for an Academy Award for Bull Durham. But she was nominated for Best Actress for this movie.
Was she? Did she
Both
win?
of them were actually no. So both actresses, Gina Davis and Susan Sarandon, were nominated for Best Actress, which has only happened, I believe, four other times. And this is the last time that it happened. So 35 years ago.
Wow.
And they both got beat by Jodie Foster for Silence of the Lambs,
Oh, yeah.
which, you know what, probably deserved it.
Did she?
Silence of the Lambs, that was a pretty awesome role.
Yeah. No,
A
I'm not
person who
disagreeing.
was scared, absolutely just scared shitless the whole movie, but somehow comes up to be the most courageous person in the movie.
Yeah. No, I'm not disagreeing.
Okay. I just thought it, if you were disagreeing, crazy.
Yeah, no, I can't tell. All right. Yeah, no, that's good. Good for Susan Sarandon. I'm glad she continued to get work. That's wonderful.
Wonderful for her. Okay. Anything to talk about with Standoff at Sparrow Creek?
I thought it was way too dark. You were talking about how good the lighting was, and that's all I was
Mm-hmm.
thinking about, how I could barely tell what's going on in any of the scenes. That's
Yeah,
all.
maybe there's something with the copy that you watched it on.
It could have been. So I'm not going to complain too much about it. It might have been much better in a dark theater.
Yeah, I watched it mostly in the dark this morning, or was it yesterday morning? Oh no, yesterday morning, and I found it to be quite well lit and bright.
Right.
So maybe you just got a bad copy of it.
Yeah,
And I
no,
don't think
that's
it was
just the time.
released in the theater, so I don't think either of us would have had a chance.
Oh no. Straight to
No.
streaming.
Yeah. Streaming or DVD or whatever, yeah. I don't think I've seen it on streaming, but it doesn't seem to be a well-seen movie. And usually I can tell because there's only one piece of trivia on IMDb.
Oh
And
yeah.
people love their IMDb trivia.
Yeah, what was the one piece of trivia?
Something like there are two roads in Michigan named whatever two roads are mentioned in the movie, but they don't intersect, and the name of the town is but is fake.
Okay.
That was the only piece of trivia for the movie. It's just about roads.
Yeah.
A real geography nut.
Yeah, right.
A Michigan geography nut.
All right. What else would you like to say about it?
Do you think that what the police did was okay?
No, probably not. You
Yeah.
mean which part? The executing the guy from the KKK executing somebody to blame it on the KKK? Is that?
No, I thought the KKK. Oh, you mean like when he was undercover and he executed somebody from the KKK?
Yeah. No, he executed on behalf of the KKK. Wasn't it somebody that was innocent?
I thought it was a member of the KKK he executed.
Oh, well, okay. That's not
Okay.
so bad then.
Well, I don't think it's ever okay just to execute somebody
I thought it was just
without.
a black guy, and then it was going to be easy to pin on
Oh.
the KKK because he's wearing a hood, right?
Yeah, he was wearing it, but I thought it was like a KKK turncoat. Because wasn't he
Oh,
undercover with the KKK?
he was.
And then why do you think he killed the guy?
Because they wanted to blame the KKK so that they could take him down.
But they were the KKK. I thought the KKK guys got him to execute the guy.
I thought that was the cops. I thought that was the whole point of the movie.
Oh, so my thought was those guys were the KKK guys who told him to execute that guy, and he felt bad about doing it because he was a cop.
Oh, well, that's a different take on the movie then. I thought it was the cops saying, we have all the evidence we need to take down the KKK. But we need a smoking gun basically right now so that we can go in and arrest them all. And so we need somebody from the KKK to execute this poor innocent guy, which really would have been bad. So maybe I'm totally wrong, because maybe
I am.
I don't know. But that's what they ended up doing at the end of the movie. They set up a fake thing to get the criminals to react to it. It's entrapment, right? It's entrapment. So I thought he'd already done that, and that's why he wasn't a cop anymore.
Oh. Well, either way, he did something awful. He killed an innocent person, either. Well, a person who hadn't had a trial, either way. A person who hadn't been found guilty.
Yeah, I'll have to go back and watch that scene again, because I thought it was really obvious that it was the cops. I thought they were talking to him, saying, we just can't get this last piece. We need somebody from their gang to do something horrible so that we can take the gang down.
You could be 100% right.
I could be 100% wrong, too. I wasn't paying attention that much this time. Once I realized that I'd seen it before, I wasn't paying that much of attention. So you're probably right.
I think you're right.
Now, okay. then I'm wrong about being right. I don't.
I think I just saw it wrong. But no, this was a terrible thing that the police did. And I don't really understand. Like, I thought before I watched this movie, I understood what militias were. But I'm not 100% sure now I know what militias are.
Yeah.
After this movie.
Yeah. I guess they're... I don't know. I don't know what that means. I'd have to look up the definition.
Yeah. Well, I know a militia in, like, the definition is a group of armed people who aren't the military.
Okay.
But I don't know, in this sort of specific movie, are they doing anything wrong? Like, necessarily?
Well, they all hate the cops.
They all hate the cops, but they don't seem to have, as far as I know, been involved in any illegal activity, like this specific group.
Yeah.
Other than they've all seemed to have killed somebody before.
Yeah.
I
guess that really is the point of it, is that they haven't done anything bad yet, but they're going to. And so the cops are like, let's provoke them into doing the thing that we know they're eventually going to do. So it's totally the definition of entrapment.
Yeah. But are they eventually going to do it, though? That's the question.
Yeah,
because
that is the real moral question of,
yeah,
if you set up the Tom Cruise see into the future thing. What is that from? Minority Report.
Minority Report with the balls. Yeah.
Yeah. If you know the future, and can they then change the future? So the cops are like, we know the future. They're going to do something bad. Why else are they collecting guns and meeting in secret and doing all this, getting all this stuff together? And they all have the past of, like, hating the cops.
Yeah.
We know they're going to do something bad. Let's smoke them out by pretending there's been a cop shooting at a funeral. Yeah. It is a pretty clever movie.
There you go.
Yeah.
You've turned around.
Well, I gave it a pass.
Okay. Good enough. But I think it seems to be, you're giving it more of a pass now. It seems to be in the C territory rather than the D territory now.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't have anything else to say.
Okay. That's fair.
All right.
Let's find some movies for next week.
Let's watch two baseball movies.
Okay.
How about The Babe?
Ooh.
And Ty Cobb.
Ooh, I think it's just called Cobb.
It probably is.
Okay. All right. We will watch those. I'm not sure if I have either of them on DVD, but I'll let you know if I can if I need help finding them.
All right. So if you wanna, if you have a different baseball movie that you want to suggest, I'm willing to hear you out.
No. I'm just letting you know that I
All
may need
right.
help.
Let's finish it up. We're done.
Okay.
Okay, I'll see you next week.
I'll see you next week as well. Goodbye.
Bye.